Scripture reading this morning will come from 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 17. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 17. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the King.
I thought you might be a little anxious for a longer scripture reading there. But one that's very important. Thank you so much for being in our worship assembly today. Thank you for taking the time to worship God. Thank you for those of you who are mothers in our assembly today. I want to say one thing about my mother, if you will allow me a personal note that I think relates to our lesson this morning. As you may remember, and I believe I've said this before, my mother had a quite remarkable characteristic about her in that I never heard her say one negative thing about another person that walked the face of the earth. Now, I just think that's remarkable. I'm not saying that to brag in any way whatsoever, shape, form, or fashion. I wouldn't do that. That is a remarkable characteristic. How she was able to do that and live that way, I can't fully understand. But I know that she had teaching in her that helped her to honor other people and respect other people and demonstrate that by not saying negative things against them. Isn't that quite remarkable? I wish that you could have had an opportunity to know my mother. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the King. To respect someone is to honor them, to regard them, to esteem them, honor them duly, revere them, treat them with consideration, or to regard as of interest or importance, as a man respects public opinion, for example. It might also mean to avoid intruding upon someone, as we say, respect the property of another person. Having its beginning in the mind, respect cannot be forced from outside of us to be inside of us. And that's why we sometimes use the expression, respect has to be earned. Because it cannot be forced. We cannot be forced to honor or respect another person. We have to do that voluntarily. But we can cultivate within ourselves a cordial and loving spirit toward other people. By being thoughtfully considerate of our associates, we can acquire the habit of performing the small acts which are marks of respect as we go through our lives. And by this, we may fulfill the scriptural admonition in our text this morning to honor other people. Sadly, we live in a day and an age where that respect is somewhat lacking in a lot of people. Many people in our day lack respect for authority. Students mock their teachers. Cartoonists write derogatory cartoons about government leaders. Lawbreakers sneer at the police. Children ridicule their parents, and even some brethren manifest a lack of reverence for Bible preaching. All of those situations violate the scriptures of God. Let's think this morning first about respect and how that begins with parents. In Genesis 3, Adam and Eve learned a great lesson of the unhappiness that comes when people fail to respect God's law. Their own failure to submit to the Word of God contributed to the failures in their family in a great way. Cain did not respect God, which led him to the horrible sin of murder. These accounts early on in God's book show us that disrespect leads to tragic consequences, the tragic consequences of sin. We as parents must have respect for God's law, and that certainly includes the civil laws of our society in which we live, because those are ordained of God in Romans chapter 13. If we fail to be the right examples before our children and before the world, how can we expect our children to grow up to be people who honor other people, respect other people, and respect authority? Yeah. This training has to begin early on in their lives when they are brought into this world. It has to be taught and learned at home. When you see people conducting lives of rebellion on the streets of our society, you can mark it down and be pretty sure they didn't learn at home at an early age to honor other people and respect other people. If we fail to teach them in the early years of life, when it finally dawns on us what type of children we are raising and we wish to turn that around, when they're teenagers, we face a daunting task. Man. If we have failed to teach them respect early in their lives. As we teach our children to have respect for others, let us also remember that wives must respect their husbands, and husbands must respect their wives. Because of the fact that the Scriptures give the authority of the household to the man, and it says that the woman is to subject herself to her husband, that is not at all to take away from God's requirement for each to respect and honor the other. The husband should respect his wife as she assumes her role in the home, Ephesians 5:22-33. We only need to look around us to see the very many problems in our society that all stem from a lack of respect or honor for other people and for authority in the home. We see it in the home, we see it in our schools, we see it in our society, we see it in our nation, we see it in the Lord's church, a lack of respect for authority. Amen. Let us say again, as parents, we must set the proper example along this line if we expect our children to listen to our teaching on respect. Honor all people, God says. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. Some practical ways, maybe, how to show respect. There are many ways that we can show respect. By the things that we say and how we say them. By the things that we do and how we do them. And the attitude that we have when we do those things. Clifford Bell related this comment many years ago. When I was in college during the 1930s and when I was in the armed services from 1940 to 1945, I rode on buses and trains a lot of the time. If a young lady or an elderly person got on the bus or train and there were no empty seats, I would immediately offer that person mine. Today, we rarely ever find anyone getting up to offer his chair to anyone, young, elderly, or crippled. This is an example of the change in our society in failing to show respect for others. We need a revival in learning the importance of showing respect in every walk of life. And I appreciate that comment, don't you? Why has our society changed? Have we become smarter? Have we become more enlightened? Have we come to a better place in life where we can rid ourselves of the shackles of showing respect to other people? Have we followed a pattern of every previous society, I think, in failing to maintain high moral standards of living, in spiraling downward over time, and failing to adhere to the high standards that were once regarded and practiced by older generations? That's really the pattern of society. Things don't usually get better. They all the time get worse.
Man.
How can we show respect? Young people, think with me about some of the ways that we may show respect, some practical ways that we can. And remember Ephesians 6, verses 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, so that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Important words. Children, for us to understand and appreciate. Listen to your parents when they address you. Would be a practical way you could fulfill that commandment. Someone said, don't let your parents down. They brought you up. And that's very good practical advice, I think. Parents are willing to go without many things that they want or need so that their children can have what they want and what they need. They've loved and cared for you through the years. Even when the going was rough, they did it. They will continue to pray for you and help you in any way possible as you grow to maturity and as you form and shape your own life in this world. Listen to your parents when they address you. Secondly, don't talk back to your parents. If you're raised in the South, you might understand it this way. Don't sass your parents.
Man.
Don't be sassy is the idea. Don't talk back to them. When they ask you to do something, be careful with your lips. Control what comes out of your mouth and you'll be a finer person for that. Never talk about them in a disrespectful manner, such as the old man or the old lady. I heard too much of that when I was growing up, maybe in the revolutionary times that I grew up, in the 60s, where that phrase became very popular. But I tell you what, if you're a young person, I would understand you if you shied away from me and didn't want to have anything to do with me and wanted to avoid me, if you're the type of person that talks disrespectfully to your mother or your father or your grandmother or your grandfather. Because what I might do, before I think, and I might be rebuked for it later, but I'm going to let you know that you're doing wrong by talking disrespectfully to your mother or father. We may have a conversation about that before your parents get a chance to come to your defense. But that's okay, because you need it. Do not ever, ever talk disrespectfully about the ones that brought you into this world. Think about that carefully. Be attentive to them. And when they ask you something, when you communicate with them, give them a kind answer. Give them an honest answer. And parents, when our children face moral and spiritual conflicts in school, be firm in insisting that your children do the right thing and defend them with the school officials as he resists wrong and refuses to be involved in things that are wicked, in lascivious dancing, in near nudity, and in school programs that interfere with their spiritual lives. In spite of the evils that are increasingly prevalent in our public schools, faithful parents and well-trained children can overcome evil with good, Romans 12, verse 21, and they will. And in doing that, they will win the respect of other people who have some respect for the Almighty God. Fifthly, be a person of your word. If you make a promise, keep it. If you tell someone you will do something, do it. If you tell someone you will not do something, don't do it. A very simple rule, but one that will bring you blessings in your life. You want your parent to trust you, don't you? You want them to regard you as an honest person, don't you? Won't there come a time when you say, "Dad, can I have the keys to the car? Mom, can I have the keys to the car?" When you ask that question of them, do you want them to be thinking about all your mistrust and all the failures to keep your word and your promises and you can't be relied on to do what you say? I don't think you do, if you want the keys to the car. Be careful about that. And parents should realize that these practical things apply to them as well. Respect is reciprocal. If one wishes to gain respect from others, he must be willing to show respect to others. The receiver must be the giver. To have respect, one must be respectful. Take time to see the good in your children, you parents, and offer generous praise for every time you see a desirable, good, spiritual, righteous quality demonstrated in their lives. Make sure you praise them for that and point that out and recognize them and appreciate them for putting forth that kind of effort. It'll pay off. If he's a good boy, let him know you're aware of it, that you appreciate it, and that you trust him to be that way. Show respect if you're an older young person and you are allowed to date. The scriptures don't tell you that you can't have a date, and they don't tell you that you can. I guess your parents have to decide that for you. But if that is a part of your life and you are allowed to go on a date with someone, show them some respect. Show them the same kind of respect that you would want another male to show to your sister or another lady to show to your brother. Show them that kind of respect. You know, many times in life we find ourselves in a situation where we're using property that belongs to someone else. We need to take care of it just like it belongs to us. When we borrow something from others, we should return it in a reasonable amount of time and in good condition. And here is a good rule to think about, I think, and this is based on experience. It is not the responsibility of the loaner to chase you down to pay what you owe or return what you borrow. It's not their responsibility. If you borrow something, that responsibility is yours. And you need to make sure that your forgetter is not in gear when you do that. This is respect for other people and other people's property. Return what you borrow. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves, not merely looking out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. And that certainly includes their property, doesn't it? They're kind enough and generous enough to loan you something. Make sure that you take care of it and deal righteously in that way. Let us all respect the elderly and regard them as special, because I'm telling you what, they certainly are special. And probably you need to live for a while and experience some things in life before you begin to fully realize how important and how special elderly people really are. They've lived through a lot of experiences. Most of them have lived through some very, very hard times. Things have not been handed to the older generation as they have been graciously handed to the younger generation. Money was in scarce supply when my father was born in 1923. It was even in scarcer supply when he lived a few years when the Great Depression hit. Depending on what area of the country that you lived in, you may have struggled just to put food on the table, beans and cornbread mostly. Older people have lived through experiences like that that the younger generation knows absolutely nothing about. And it's not your fault. We just live in a different time. We live in an affluent society, a wealthy society, a luxurious society, where most teenagers drive their own automobiles now. That didn't happen in generations past. Respect and honor the elderly as if they are special and precious to you. Leviticus 19 and verse 32 says, "You shall rise up before the gray-headed and honor the aged, and you shall revere your God. I am the Lord." Sometimes the young do not understand and appreciate their elders. Realize, if you are a young person, that you have not experienced all the things in life that you need to make you and mold you into a mature and considerate person. So take the advice of someone who is older when they advise you to honor and respect and appreciate your elders. We honor our aged parents when they are unable to care for themselves by providing for their every need, physical, spiritual, and emotional. This is what believers in God do. 1 Timothy 5 and verse 8. 1 Timothy 5 and verse 4 says, "If any widow has children or grandchildren, they must first learn to practice piety in regard to their own family and to make some return to their parents, for this is acceptable in the sight of God." 1 Timothy 5 and verse 16, first part of that verse says, "If any woman who is a believer has dependent widows, she must assist them." They cared for us when we were unable to care for ourselves. That's something that we need to give some careful thought to. Our parents and our grandparents cared for us when we were unable to care for ourselves. Young people, are you with me on this point? Are you thinking with me? They cared for you when you were unable to care for yourself. They could have delivered you in a ladies' restroom and thrown you in a dumpster in the back of a restaurant somewhere. But they didn't do it. They cared for you. They could have let you run a burning fever all night long, but they didn't do it. They lost sleep and stayed up with you to nurse you, to ice you down, to get your fever down, to take care of you when you were sick, to make that sore throat go away, to clear up that cough. They made sacrifices to do that. They didn't put you in harm's way. They didn't throw you in the back of a truck and haul you all around town. They didn't let you wander out free in society where someone could snatch you and no one would ever see you again. They cared for you. They took care of your needs. Did they sell you to someone outside the country for a life of servitude? You know, that still happens. They didn't do that, did they? Some do not have children to care for them. And some have children who don't care for them. Sometimes the children are unable physically to care for them, and that's understandable. There are those also who are unwilling to give up the pursuit of pleasures of life to spend the time that is necessary in caring for the aged. And sometimes that's 24 hours a day. Too many young people fail to show respect for elderly people. We must respect our parents. We must respect our grandparents. We must respect our neighbors and our brothers and sisters in Christ. Yes, even them. What are some people thinking, I wonder, when they just fail to give others the proper amount of respect? The scriptures tell us one thing they're thinking in Psalm 10. There are two verses there, verse 11 and verse 13. Here's what they say. He says to himself, God has forgotten. He has hidden his face. He'll never see it. Is that true? God has hidden his face and he'll never see the disrespectful way that you mistreat another person. Is that true? Verse 13, why has the wicked spurned God? He has said to himself, you will not require it. God, you're too busy with other things. You're not going to take notice of me and what I do in my small little situation. You won't notice anything. It's a bad state of affairs when people get to thinking that way, isn't it? Really what this all boils down to, I think, is fundamentally, do we have a respect for God? I think that's really what it all boils down to. Respect for other people is really fundamentally grounded in, do we respect God? Do we honor God himself? From the beginning of time, man has been taught the importance of having respect for God and for his word and for our fellow man. Today, we surely need more respect for God's word.
Amen.
Don't we? The most important thing you can put in the mind of your child is the word of God. Respect for it as the only standard of right and wrong must become as much a part of your child's life as awareness of living is, as awareness of his own personal needs. When children know and believe the Bible, they will understand the importance and the place of true love, the real meaning and purpose, the real one of life itself. The place and importance of law, the strength and anchor of the hope of eternal life. A failure to study the Bible is a sure sign that they do not regard things divine and holy as they should. Souls are being lost due to a famine in the land, a famine for hearing the words of the Lord, Amos 8 and verse 11. We need respect for God's word. We need respect for godly living. A lack of scripture in our lives is evidenced by a failure to live like the Bible demands of us. To abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, is Peter's plea in 1 Peter 2 and verse 11. And the passage before that tells us to long for the pure milk of the word and then to live it before family and friends. James challenges us in James 1 and verse 21, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls.
Amen.
We need respect for God's cause. If Christ cared enough for the church to die for it, to purchase it with his own blood, Acts 20 and verse 28. We should display a loyalty that knows no boundary, shouldn't we? If Christ cared that much for the church, should we be any different in our care and concern, in our honor and our respect? Far too many one-time brethren have treated the church as if it is merely a social club, and merely a recreational outlet, or secular operation, or business undertaking that should be subject to the whims and the selfish ambitions and the self-serving opinions that fail to respect the Lord's plea for unity based on the Word of God and God's way. Satan is indeed shrewd, and the flesh is weak. The value of lost souls should be constantly in our hearts as we lovingly show respect for the gospel and the awesome nature of God's final judgment. Respect the cause of God. And respect God's Son. It should be a natural thing. Should be. For people to respect the one who came and provided the very means for us to have our sins forgiven. Sadly, we tend to forget the suffering Savior and what He endured as He Himself bore our sins in His body on the cross, Peter said in 1 Peter 2 and verse 24. Respect for our Redeemer should produce within us a gratitude that is expressed something like the language in 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 15, thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. Reverence, devotion, appreciation, and love for these things will truly make us better people. What shall I render to the Lord for all His benefits toward me? The psalmist asked in Psalm 116 and verse 12. Well, how about a little honor? How about a little respect for things that are worthy of honor and things that are worthy of respect? Don't you agree? Teach your children to pray every day. Teach them that God hears and answers prayer in His own good time, to His glory and for their good. Teach your children to seek truth and right and to shun evil and evil companions. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. Do this on every level of their lives. Teach them that they will reap what they sow. Teach them that they have a responsibility to bear, even from an early age. Teach them good manners and to respect other people's property. Teach them to honor their parents. Teach them to have respect for themselves and their minds and their bodies, and to have a good conscience in all things. How important those things are. How really important they are, fundamentally, basically, to live lives of righteousness. And what about you today? Are you a person who honors and respects others? Do you honor all people? Do you love the brotherhood? Do you fear God? And do you honor the King? A great question for all of us to consider. If you're in our assembly today and we can help you to become a Christian as a believer who is willing to repent of sins, we can immerse you in water. We can baptize you for the remission of sins, and you can come up out of that watery grave to walk in a new life, forgiven as a child of God. Can we help you with that today? Can we help you in any other way to walk closer to God when you leave this place this morning than when you first came in? If we can, please come to the front and let us know while we stand together and sing number 309.